In our gospel passage today, we begin a series of parables which will continue on for the next couple of Sundays, found in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13. So we have Jesus present this parable about the sower, the sowing of the seeds, and then he gives an explanation of that. One could say, what more needs to be said? Well, don't get your hopes up. A lot more needs to be said. So, when we think about this, though, our Lord is preaching to the people around the Sea of Galilee, which was the breadbasket, as it still is today, of Israel. Lots of farmers, lots of farming, producing much different kinds of produce, fruits, and so on. So the purpose of the parable was to teach to these common people a story, and through that story, hopefully, have them insert themselves into the situation, and then think about what is going on. Now, granted, for the apostles, who are going to be the ones after Pentecost who go out and sow the seeds, the Word of God, they're given the explanation. So they've been given the deeper understanding. Our Lord explains this to them because, just like for himself, they're going to be preaching a gospel, and sometimes people will reject it outright because they'll have that hardened heart. Or maybe they'll accept it, but then something ensnares them, and then they fall away. But then there'll be those who really do convert, who really become believers. Now, given all of that, we could say to ourselves, well, we're here, so we must have the fertile hearts. Not so easy. And that's part of the parable, too. Because it's one thing to sow the seed and to put it into good ground, but one can't just leave it there. I like to garden, and I'm sure many of you enjoy gardening too, especially during the spring and summer time. It's not easy, because looking at our Virginia red clay, one has to till that soil, add supplements. That's a task in itself. Then we could plant our little seed, but then there's the constant invasion of weeds. They keep coming back. And there's the rocks to keep on appearing somehow. If we didn't keep cultivating that little garden, eventually the soil gets hardened and the little plant's going to die. And that's the same it is for our soul. So you and I have to remember, yes, we have received a gift of faith beginning at our own baptism. But then that has to continue to be cultivated. But consider this. What is our Lord talking about when he speaks of these seeds and so on? Well, it's the Word of God. So yes, we hear the Word of God, but we have to take it to heart. But who is that Word of God? That Word of God is Christ. Remember that it is Christ, second person of the Holy Trinity, who is the Word, the eternal wisdom and truth of God. As we say in the Creed, the one through whom God created all things. As Isaiah prophesied, this Word of God would come down very gently. And so it happened that Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit, and through her, Jesus, true God, became true man. And therefore, as St. John writes, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of an only begotten Son, filled with enduring love. So Christ, as we find in the Gospels, but even in our own lives, perfectly reveals God's love, God's truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Nothing forced, though, very gentle. But we have to open our hearts. Because it's not even just the idea of having knowledge of this Word. It's having that loving friendship with Jesus, the person of Christ. That's why we have to keep our hearts cultivated. And we do that by taking time to pray. It's wonderful that we're all here. But if this is all we do for the whole week, and we don't take time to pray, or really any other spiritual activity except maybe grace at meals, that heart is going to dry out and harden. The weeds will be sown. Rocks will be there. So you and I have to find that 15 minutes of prayer, whether it is to say our regular prayers or the rosary. Of course, it should be also letting our heart talk to the Lord. He's our friend. He loves us. So shouldn't we give thanks for what we have, pray for those that we love or other concerns, ask the Lord for help that we need? But in all, we should be talking with our Lord, having that special good time to be with Him. Besides that, we should take 15 minutes a day and study. Learn about our faith. It should never stop, because otherwise, how do we mature? But then how do we fight the weeds? How do we fight the rocks that we face in this world? So we need to study. It could be working through the Gospels, starting with the Gospel of Matthew, take a chapter, even a story, put ourselves into it, think about it, think about our lives, and I guarantee you that all of us will become closer to our Lord. Or it could be reading passage of the Catechism, life of the saint, something. But 15 minutes a day. Now, if you put the prayer time plus the study time together, that's only a half hour of our day, of 24 hours each day. But think of the good that it will do. And it will, because it will produce fruit. The more we put into it, the more fruit will be produced. And so we'll become more generous in our time, talent, treasure that we give to Almighty God. Guaranteed. We'll become more great evangelizers, being willing to talk about our faith, to defend our faith, to answer questions about our faith. We'll be more secure in our friendship with our Lord so that we don't mind in public saying grace before meals, bowing our head, making the sign of the cross, maybe having a religious picture at the office, whatever it may be. We'll become evangelizers. Now, sure, there will be those that might reject it, might not even notice it, but we'll be doing our part. I would encourage you to really take this to heart. If prayer isn't part of the normal routine, I would encourage you to maybe stop by and get one of these little Magnificats. It's a good way to start. It has a morning prayer, evening prayer, the mass readings for the day, a little thing about a saint, and so on. A good way to start having a good prayer life. But it will make the difference. Many of you might remember this past spring, we offered those books by Matthew Kelly, the Four Signs of a Dynamic Catholic. Well, in his research, he saw that Catholics who do pray, and he said 10 minutes a day, study 15, make up 7% of our Catholic population. That's not a whole lot. But that 7% gives 80% of the time, talent, and treasure to the church, whether financially or volunteer services and so on. So just think, that's 7%. Bump it up to 8. Think how better our church would be, how better our parish would be, and so on. So we ought to take this to heart and really incorporate this into our lives and start. That's the key. But the heart has to be cultivated. Part of this, too, needs to be an examination of our own lives. After all, we could have a rock right now in our own soul caused by a hurt that we committed, and we still remember it, regret it, or a hurt that was done to us, and we remember it, and the devil likes to keep that rock there, seeking forgiveness, forgiving that hurt. Through the sacrament of penance, will pulverize that rock. May take time, but it will. Or we might have a weed in our soul right now, and that weed could be a temptation, and we're struggling with a certain sin. But regular confession and repentance will uproot that weed. It's not easy, because weeds keep coming back. You have to get to the very bottom root, but eventually it will work. But in all, we need to keep this heart, this soul of ours, cultivated so that we fully know the friendship of Christ. A good example is a saint that we honor this day, but unfortunately his feast day gets bumped because of Sunday. But it's King Henry II of Germany. He was the Duke of Bavaria, elected Holy Roman Emperor in 1014, and he's a saint. Now consider, it's the Middle Ages. He's a king, Holy Roman Emperor. He has power, wealth, position, and honor, but he used all those things rightly. He had to fight wars, but he did so justly, as best that he could, and tried to make sure his soldiers did also. He saw the needs of his people, and so he founded numerous monasteries, because back then the monasteries were the schools, the hospitals, the orphanages, the places where people could find food and clothing when in need. He also founded a diocese. He also built several cathedrals and also numerous churches. His wife is Saint Kunigunda. Now, they had no children for whatever reason, but the people entrusted to their care were their children. But here you have a king and a queen who are saints. They did it. Their hearts were always fertile. How wonderful that is. Was it easy? No. And that's why St. Paul talks about the groaning inside of us. It takes constant cultivation. But if a king and a queen can be saints with all their worldly responsibilities, you and I can be saints too. The other challenge for this is, what about our families? Parents, you're given the gift of a child. And that little child comes to you totally innocent. At baptism, grace is poured into that little child's soul. What happens then? You have to cultivate it. You have to take the time to pray with your children, whether it's kneeling down at the crib or by the bedside, to teach them the faith, such as reading the little Bible stories, stories of saints, stories of Jesus for bedtime reading, to say the grace at meals, to bring them at church. I always find it wonderful when I see parents with their little ones and the parents are helping them make the sign of the cross or pointing out who's in the stained glass windows or who's at the statue, helping them light the candle and so on. That's how we plant the seeds of faith. And they grow. As the children become older, then you have to help them with their religious education. It's not just a school, not just a program. You sit down and you help them with their education because then it's important to you. If it's important to you, it's important to them. And you help them grow in their knowledge. As they become older still, you have to be more aware of who are they associating with. Are they having good Christian friends? Or are they associating with the weeds? Are they having good influences in their life, especially now that we have the computers and the cell phones and so on? Or do they have the weeds coming into their lives? You always have to be on guard. And as they get older, especially in high school, you have to ask them, well, what are you learning? And with that, you have to teach them about human sexuality and marriage and dating and so on. But when they come home and say, well, in government class we learned that people have a right to abortion or same-sex marriage and so on, you can say, well, that's what your teacher may say, but this is what Christ says, and this is what we believe. When they go to the history class and the history professor says, oh, that St. Paul was the first pope, you laugh and say, no, it was St. Peter. Or the history teacher says, oh, mean Catholic Church had the Crusades. You say, oh, listen, wait a minute. We were fighting a just war because our holy land was invaded and our church was being persecuted. Was it a perfect war? No, but it was a just war. And when they go to science class and the science teacher says, oh, there's no such thing as God. It's all about evolution. You can say, hey, look, just a minute. Look at the universe. Look at the order of creation. It's all design, purpose, and order. And the great scientists even said, there's a supreme being who created. And Einstein said, two ways to look at life. Either everything is not a miracle, or everything is miraculous. And I choose the latter. Einstein believed in God. Yes, this is how you have to keep cultivating the hearts of your children. Otherwise, the weeds, the rocks come, hearts get hardened. And then they go off to college. And what then? Well, we know what happens. And I know very few families that do not have someone who's gone astray. But you still pray for them. You can encourage them. You can give them the invitation. When you visit, you can always say, I'm going to church. Do you want to come? For you grandparents, help your grandchildren. You plant the seeds of faith. And we'll see the great fruit. If you're interested in a couple of good books, we do have that, Four Signs of a Dynamic Catholic. But also, if you have someone who's gone astray, Confessions of a Mega Church Pastor. Pastor of the largest Methodist church in the country who became a Catholic, and he tells why. Maybe something good if you have someone who's gone astray. So my brothers and sisters, we pray. But this day we need to look at our own soul. How cultivated is it? May we look to our Blessed Mother, who opened her heart to the Word of God that became flesh and dwelt among us. May God bless you.